Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is so thick in this place. It is so thick. I can just feel it. You can cut it with a knife right now. His presence is here. His presence is here because He wants to restore. He wants to heal. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Come on, ladies. If there's something here today that you need to surrender, just lift your hands up and say, God, it's yours. It is yours, and I give it to you. It is yours. I lay it at your feet. It is yours. No longer do I carry the weight, because you gave us the cross. And I can lay that weight on you, Father. Thank you, Father, for freedom. Thank you for anointing. Thank you, Lord, that you came to set the prisoner free. Father, thank you that this is the year of the Lord's favor, and we will walk in it. Not only will we walk in it, but we will run in it. Not only will we run in it, but we will leap in it. Not only will we leap in it, but we will dance in it. Unashamed before you, God. Unashamed like David danced before your kingdom, God. He was uninhibited, Lord. He knew how to worship, Father. And we will do the same in your presence here this morning, in our lives, in our homes, in our situations, in our family issues, in our husband-wife issues, in our non-existent relationships. Lord, you will reign. Ladies, sometimes we just got to get up and be willing to dance on some graves in our life. We got to get our feet hopping. We got to get our feet and tell the enemy he has no place. He has no place in your body. He has no place in your marriage or in your family, in your job and in your finances. He has no place because Jesus put him asunder 2,000 years ago. It is finished, he said. He said it is finished. Do you believe it this morning? Amen. Do you believe it in your heart? Do you believe it in your mind? It is finished. He has finished it. Now get up and walk it out. Get up and walk in the resurrection power that He has given you. Stand up on your two feet and say, enemy, you're defeated. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's alive and well in here. Father, I humble myself right here and now, Lord. This is not my stage. This is not stage Amanda, stage Riverside. This is not Amanda's Bible study. This is the Lord's. It is His. This is His place, and He will do as He wishes. Holy Spirit, you have free will and reign to move in this place as you see fit. Touch the individual lives of every woman in here. You know, God doesn't love us equally. Did you know that? He loves us uniquely. He loves you uniquely. That's how much He loves you. Not to love you the same as your BFF or your husband. No, to love you the way He created you, the way you needed Him to be in your life, because we are all different. He loves you uniquely. Oh, thank you, Father, that you love me according to what I need and not according to what my sister friend here needs, Father. You are so good. And I just can't say enough about how good you are. You're beautiful in every way. Father, open our eyes that we may see it, that we may see your glory, Lord. Open our ears that we may hear your words this morning. Open our mind so that we can understand the word. Open our hearts. Father, open our hearts so we can receive it in our lives. Lord, you're doing something good here, and we want to see it. We want to know it. We want to hear it, Lord, in our lives. Lord, help us not to walk out of here without understanding who you are and your plan for me. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Can we just give God a hand clap? Woo! Wow. Ladies, I don't know about y'all, but I am about to pass out because God's presence is so strong here this morning. And I knew His presence was going to show up today in a mighty way because, you know, there's always a lot of obstacles to kind of jump through. Well, this morning, not only did I have hoops, but I had fire hoops.
Who's ever had hoops in their life and who has had fire hoops where there's fire around them? Come on, like the circus. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. So I knew that because I had some fire hoops I had to walk through the last couple days, I knew that God was going to show up here mighty. He was going to do something great. And right now, I feel like we could just sit here for literally 1 hour, not say one word out of my mouth, and still walk out here full. Because his presence is so real and so alive, and he is so good that sometimes he can just be here and it's enough. He didn't have to say a word to you. He can just be here and it's enough. And you can walk out here fulfilled and satisfied and have direction in your life because his presence is all you need. Ladies, before I begin this morning, I want to read something to you. I feel like this is important for you to understand. If you've been coming to Bible study for a while, you know that I like to say in my prayers about our ears being open, our eyes being able to see, our heart to understand, and our mind to understand, and our heart to receive. That is actually scriptural. And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13, I want you to understand the significance of this morning before we start our lesson. Are you ready? Okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Guys, this is powerful what Jesus is saying. He's saying if we open up our ears, if we receive what God has for us today, he would heal us. Heal us. It's his word. This is his will for your life. But he's saying, open up. Open up. He says, naturally, we're going to want to close off. Naturally, we're going to want to be a calloused heart people. But he says, take note. If you open yourself up to who I am in your life, I will heal you. I will heal you. I will restore you. And the Bible says, anyone that came in contact with Jesus, if he laid hands on them, if he spoke to them, they were healed. You know why? Because intimacy produces healing. And I'm just going to challenge you here this morning to get intimate with the lover of your soul because it will heal dark places in your life. Places where you've gone to counseling, places where you've sought the advice of elders, places where you have gone to your friend and said, I don't understand, I don't know what this is going on. God's saying, you've tried all this stuff, just come to me. See what my presence can do in your life. See what intimacy can do in your life. See what my words can do in your life. See what kind of resurrection power can come from time with me. I can't emphasize intimacy enough because I am walking proof that it works. Get intimate with Jesus. Get intimate with who he is. He loves you. Let's turn to Ruth. Are you ready? Ruth is after Joshua, after Judges. If you've gone to the Samuels or the Kings, you've gone too far. Ruth, can you believe this is week 3? Are y'all wondering why I've got my glasses? I've never worn glasses up here before. Well, I'm supposed to wear them, but I don't. I'm a little stubborn in that area because, you know, my eyesight's just bad enough to wear them, right? Well, lately, I'm up here reading the Word, and it's like fuzzy. I'm like... I mean, seriously, and I'm like, I'm only 37. Do I gotta go get those little things? And I was really sad. I was a little bit sad. I haven't gone yet. I haven't gone to buy them, but I was a little bit sad because I was like, well, the Bible says my youth is renewed like the eagle, so I'm just gonna keep confessing. Keep confessing. I'm hoping I can confess my way out of buying those glasses, but if I wear my regular glasses, it helps me, so when I read the Word, I'm gonna put them on. Are you offended by that? I hope not. All right. Ruth chapter 3. It would help if I opened up my study, right? Ooh, ladies, I'm telling you, I'm off right now because the Holy Spirit has gotten me. Whoop! He's done a derail this morning. And I need to either go with his derail or try to just pray me back on track. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did here this morning. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our life. Ruth chapter 3. Everyone get an outline here? Praise God. You need one. Sometimes, I'm going to say it, sometimes we are called to step out in faith with action, are we not? Step out of our comfort zone. Step out of what's familiar. Step into a little bit of that uncomfortableness. Why? Because that will bring results. A, B, change. And if you like that what I just said, it's written on the top of your paper. So you have it. Sometimes he takes us out of comfort because we have been crying out for change and we have been crying out for results. And God's saying, okay, I'll do that, but I need to take you out of where you're at so I can put you in that place. And sometimes the process of that is uncomfortable. Come on, I know, ladies, I can testify here this morning of that. Ruth has come to the end of the harvest time. We know in the end of Ruth 2, we know that she stayed in the barley harvest till the end of the barley. So now we're at the end of the barley season. She has come to the end of the harvest time, and now it's time to winnow the barley that has been picked on the threshing floor. Are you ready? This is a very exciting time in Israel. The end of the harvest and this time when they go to winnow it on the threshing floor is a time of celebration. It's a time of to gather what you have weathered on the field. Ladies, God always likes a good party. He does. If you've read the parable of the lost son, you will know when he returns home, all he does is throw a big party. At the end of your time in the field, expect a party. Come on. When you get through your time in the field, expect celebration. Because that's God's plan for your life. It's good. And it's of him. Don't ever feel condemnation for living in a good place. You've endured some stuff in your life and you've come to a place where you're in a kind of a sweet mode. I like that. A sweet mode. We'll just call it an SM. No. Sweet. Don't call it an SM. Okay. Swipe that. We're not going to call it that. You can tell me why later. We'll call it an SP. Sweet spot. There we go. Because God is good and he wants to show you things. He wants you to celebrate in this land. Now, according to scripture, if you've read Ruth 3, this is a celebration where there's lots of eating and there's lots of drinking. A little bit too much, if you ask me, because pretty much the Bible says that Boaz got a little bit drunk, a little bit tipsy. But I feel like I'm not saying anything about alcoholism. I'm saying that the Bible says that if you drink too much, you're not supposed to get drunk on wine. Come on. He does say to enjoy yourself, but you need to know limitations and you need to set limits in your life. So I don't think it's wrong to drink wine, but the Bible doesn't say it is, but he does say getting drunk multiple times is not right. But when I look at this, I think of Boaz just being so drunk in the presence of the Lord and the harvest and the season that he's in, and he's so thankful for what he has walked through and what he's endured for the last, I don't know how many months that the harvest is going on. He's now just celebrating, and he's just like, oh, because when you get into that sweet spot, I won't say the other one, it really feels good. It really feels good. It feels good to be on the threshing floor after the field. I want us to read Ruth 3, just verses 1 through 6, before we get into the verse-by-verse study and pulling out the treasures and the diamonds of his word. Are you ready? One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for?" I need my glasses. Woo! Is not Boaz with whose servants' girls you have been a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Verse 3, wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Verse 5, I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. I find it so interesting that maturity tends to give good advice. If you were to put in good advice or good counsel, Google, do you know how many Bible verses come out? If you click in good counsel, Bible verses. There are so many verses in the Bible about seeking good, godly counsel in your life. Maturity, people that have endured something, that have walked through something and know some stuff and can direct you in the right way to go and the wrong way not to go. That kind of counsel is a really great thing in the world that we live in now. Ruth was blessed. I don't know about you, but I think getting a play-by-play like Naomi gives Ruth here on what to do in such a time is a welcome thing. Sometimes I'd like a play-by-play on what to do. Now, this is what you're going to do. Step one, you're going to do this. Step two. Come on, who loves those quizzes and those little things that you get on Pinterest when they tell you how to do? Step one, step two, step three. It's so easy. It's so you can get it, you can grasp it. Here is Ruth. Here's Naomi giving her this three-step process on what to do for future and for the next step in her life. Because she's endured some field time, has she not? She's made some right choices, and it's time for something good to come out of that. And Naomi tells her what to do. Your choice is to take godly advice even when it seems different or unfamiliar in your life. Your choice is to receive it. Verse 3, one more time. Naomi tells Ruth to do certain things as she prepares for her future. There are three things that she tells Ruth to do that I find so interesting and beautiful. And these are the three things I want to focus on for the next 20 minutes or so. The first thing she says to do, verse 3, are you ready? She says, wash. Now, I know that in the natural, this is a good thing when you're going to go to a party. Come on. You want to look your best, right? When you're getting ready to go somewhere, especially when she's going with the intentions of trying to get a man. Come on, ladies. You want to look good. So Naomi's advice is really just pretty much normal. But I want to take y'all deeper because I think God is telling us something about our journey that we are on now. When you're ready to go meet the king and what he's got for you, there is something that he's requiring of us to do. And Naomi says, first, wash, wash, wash. What does the significance of wash mean in your life? Well, the meaning of wash means to get clean what is dirty. We wash things, laundry, because we want to see them clean. Amen? We wash our bodies because we want them to become clean. Right? Is there anything that's dirty in your life right now that you have not washed? And sometimes these are not big things, ladies. Sometimes these are little things. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I forget to wash behind my ears. And sometimes after a while, that will kind of get big. Sometimes the little things in our life that we just kind of say, well, I'll get to it later. It's just not as important. But they start to stink after a while. I'm talking about the little places. Sometimes we don't have big places. If we're walking with Jesus and we're trying to serve him, he's already dealt with those things. But some of those little bitty, dark, dirty places in your life, come on, you know. Maybe it's just your thought life. Maybe it's that hidden place up there where the enemy attacks you right here. And you've got this dirty thought life. And no one knows about it except for you and Jesus. Maybe you need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Maybe you need to think on things that are lovely and good and of a good report. Maybe it's the little things that God's asking you to do. Is there anything in your life you need to repent of? Is there any unforgiveness in your heart that you're just holding on to for that right moment? Can I tell you something about the right moment? The right moment is here now, right now. Right now. If there's any unforgiveness in your heart right now, release it. The only person you are hurting is yourself. The other person is just walking on with their life, doing their thing, and you're the one that's paying for it. Just release it. Release it. Release it. Is there anything that is dirty that we need to make clean so that we can prepare to move forward in our life? Forward motion is a good thing. Forward motion in our journey is a good thing. We want to move forward. We want to go where God has us, but sometimes we gotta wash. What is dirty that needs to be clean? Washing also signifies cleansing off the old so you are fresh for the new. I'm gonna say that one more time. Washing also signifies cleansing off the old so you are fresh for the new. Why do you think every night you take off your makeup? Why do we do that? So the next morning we can apply fresh and new, right? Why do we take off old clothes and put them in the dirty hamper? So they can be washed and clean, and the next morning we can wake up and put on something fresh and new. Wash signifies cleansing off the old. What is old that still is hanging on you? Come on, ladies, we like to carry our baggage. We like to carry our past with us. We like to go where God is taking us, but we like to take our Moabite God sometimes in a pack and take him along with us. What is still hanging on you? What is still hanging on you? What still stinks from your past that needs a good loofah scrub? I wish I had enough money because I so badly wanted to buy tons of loofahs and just throw them at y'all. I'm telling you, for a whole week, I was like, Lord, if you want me to do this, I know you're just going to provide that $50 so I can do that. He didn't, so I just thought I would tell y'all about it. But I did. I wanted to throw loofahs at y'all this morning. Sometimes we've got to scrub off the old. Sometimes it doesn't want to come off. Sometimes it doesn't want to fall off the way other stuff does. Sometimes we got to go, need a good loofah scrub. How could Ruth become part of the lineage of Christ? Come on, if you know the story, you know that Ruth becomes part of the lineage of Christ. How could she become a part of the lineage of Christ if she still served Moabite gods from her past? And what now, I'm going to ask y'all a question. What could God be wanting to hook you up into an amazing lineage, but you still got gods of your past clinging to you? And he is ready to take you to a new place. He's ready to give you new lineage, but you are still hanging on to the past. Woo! You have not let go of where you have come from. God says, wash. He says, wash. Get it clean. Deal with it. Stop putting it off. Just deal with it. You want results. You want change. Scrub. We spend so much money on our outside appearance. We spend so much on our facial creams. And you know, now they have these little like automatic sonic things that you can like scrub the dead cells off your face. I mean, we're talking, we spend so much on getting our faces so clean because why? That's what people see. But I want to know, what about some product for your spirit, soul, and body and mind? What about your heart? What about your heart that's just carrying all those dead skin cells? And it needs a good loofah scrub. What have you purchased lately for your spirit? For your soul? I'm not saying don't take care of the physical. Come on. I like dressing up and looking pretty too. But that's temporary. This is eternal. And sometimes when you deal with this stuff comes naturally. Wash. Scrub, repent, forgive, humble yourself. Get in that place of time where you just allow God to wash you. Sometimes it's like, well, what does scrubbing mean, Amanda? What do I do? I don't know. Give me step by step. Well, here it is. Humble yourself, get on your knees, and ask God to forgive you. That's all you have to do. And say, Lord, direct me for the future. God is simple. He's simple. He's after your heart. Give it to him. Two, she says, perfume yourself. perfume yourself. Now, as I studied about perfume and as the Lord, Holy Spirit began to speak regarding this, I just thought this was so cool. Because you know when you buy perfume, it's not for you. It's not. Bottom line, you smell it for a second when you squirt it. But for the rest of the day, do you ever smell your own perfume? Never. In fact, I think it wears off after 30 seconds, but I'll walk into a room and someone goes, "Oh, you smell so great." And I'm like, "You can smell that? Oh yeah, I smell it 30 yards away." You know, because some of us like two sprays. And I'm like, "Really? Perfume is not for you. Perfume is for those around you." Challenge this. Are you ready? Perfume is used to give off a good smell to others. You don't necessarily smell it, but others do. What smell do others smell on you? Come on. You know I was going there. You know I was going to go there this morning. What smell do others smell on you? What is coming off of you at work? Oop, I said it. What's coming off of you at home? What's coming off of you when you're in the car with your kids in the carpool line? What's coming off of you at the grocery store? What's coming off of you at the bank? What's coming off of you at church? What's coming off of you in the world, ladies? What is the smell that you are giving off? Is it sweet smelling? Do others stop you and ask, "What are you wearing? What's going on in your life? You are giving such a great smell." And what's amazing about that is when you know it's Jesus and they're stopping you because you know it's Jesus and it's not you, opportunity presents itself and you get to tell them, "Oh, it's Jesus. Can I tell you about it?" And the gospel is laid bare for you to tell someone else. I love moments like that because we all want to be the evangelist in our hearts and be on the street corners, but we're like, "I'm just not called to that, you know? I just can't do that." But God gives us, every one of us, a moment to share the kingdom of God with others. And sometimes it's just the scent you give off. People are watching you, ladies. Remember last week? They're watching you. They know when you take your water breaks. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What is the smell you are giving off? Sometimes a smile and a compliment is the best thing you can do. I'm gonna tell you something about ladies. We like to be complimented. We like you to notice our new shoes, our hair, our makeup. Have you ever seen someone that, I mean, you know when people do, like we're talking like real makeup. I'm not talking about your everyday like nude colors. You know when you see someone that really spent hours on their makeup and you know it's like perfect. It is so detailed. They've got like the pink and the nude and the brown and it's like perfect line. They almost use a ruler. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. They use a ruler. I mean, they spend so much time on their makeup and they enjoy it. It's something they enjoy. They're not doing it because they've got all these insecurities. You know, I mean, we all have issues. We can all say we have insecurities. We do. But they enjoy it just like you spend a lot of time on something else. You enjoy it. If you see someone like that, tell them, "Hey, girl, your makeup looks awesome." You would see their face light up like a beam because you notice something that is important to them. If you see it, if you think it, say it, if it's godly. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. I said if it's godly. Disclaimer. If it's on the other end of the spectrum, shut your mouth. But if it's godly and it's good and it's beneficial and it's a blessing, say it. People need it. Don't ever think someone's so strong or "Oh, well, she always probably hears this." No, I'm telling you, she doesn't. Some of the prettiest women in this world are the most insecure about their looks because everyone just expects everyone to say that they're beautiful, but they're not told that. Just say it. Compliment them. Smile. Do it. Come out of yourself and bless someone else. You know what's amazing about this? A compliment and a smile doesn't cost you $100 or $150. It's free. It's so funny. Sometimes we are so much more stingy with our mouth than we are our bank. on, that was good.
Wow. I want to put on that what others might like. I want to put on every morning what I'm putting on. I want it to come off as a sweet smell, something that someone would want, someone that would say, man, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? It's called Cologne Jesus.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's free. And it also comes with 100% money back guarantee. And you know what else it comes with? A side little sample of grace to get you through everything. It's called easement. Slap this on in a hard situation. Come on, ladies. If we saw on the bottle, we'd be like, woo! Woo! But you can do it every morning. It's available to you because he died on the cross for you. You can walk in that supernatural grace of easement in your life. He is so good. Ooh, man. Put on a good attitude. Put on a grateful heart. Put on a sweet smell. Take off bitterness. Take off anger. Take off resentment. Take off sadness. Take on depression. Take off this spirit of unworthiness. Come on, ladies. We walk around in this. I'm unworthy. I've done too much. I'm not who everyone else is. I've got so many issues. We all do. We all do. You would be amazed to hear the stories of the ladies in this room. We all do. We all are in need of Jesus. Amen. Equally. And he loves you uniquely. Great. He is there for you. He is good. Number three, she says, put on your best clothes. Woo, you know this is going to be a fun one for me. All right. Put on your best clothes. Well, we're going to go Proverbs 31 because Proverbs 31 lady tells us how to dress. I'm sorry. She just does. She tells you what to put on. Proverbs 31:22 tells us about the lady. I call her the Bible work it lady because I want to be a Bible work it lady. All right? She tells us what to put on. Come on. She is like the top designer in the biggest magazine for the Bible ever. Pay attention if you're a lady. She says, put on, she says, wear fine linen and purple. I'm not going to look it up. You can look it up. But Proverbs 31:22 says, she puts on fine linen and purple. I'm going to go fine linen. Are you ready? Fine linen is the word that she uses. She does not say put on regular linen. She does not say to put on any other kind of linen except for fine. What does fine represent? Good quality. Best quality. Good. It equals value. Do we put on quality and value in our lives? Is that what we're putting off? Come on, ladies, I'm going to go deep here with you. It equals value. Thank you. Do you dress like you're valued physically, spiritually, and emotionally? Because you are. It's so funny to me how when you see someone that has just gotten into a relationship, come on, this is going to be fun. You know when someone just gets into a relationship and all of a sudden you see them and you're like, wow, girl, you changed. All of a sudden they're dressing all like nice and their hair is like shiny and silky and they're like rosy. And they whiten their teeth. They're all white. I mean, they're looking good. They're smiling. Their eyes are sparkling. They just look good. And you're like, man, girl, you know how you spot them real quick. You spot those new relationship people real fast because they put off a really, this is what's going on in my life. Why is it? Why is it? Because all of a sudden, they find themselves in a situation where they are valued by another person. Look what value does to people. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. Do you know how highly valued you are by God every single day? That you can wake up and give off that fresh scent of I'm in a new relationship because of how much God values you. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't fade after 10 years. Come on. It doesn't fade after 10 years. In fact, he continues to pour that value in you after 10, 15, 20, 25, 50 years, he continually pours the value of who he is into you. And you can wake up every morning with that, I'm in a new relationship. Because Jesus values you all the time. He does it. Where your worth. I can't say it enough. Where your worth. Wear it. Do it boldly. Other peoples will take note. Purple. She says she wears purple. Now, you don't go out and go buy all your purple shirts. That's not what it's about. You know how many people take this so literally? They go out and buy purple earrings, purple rings, purple jewelry. Ah, it's royalty. Now I'm royal. Because they bought it. Which I think is fun. It's a representation of sometimes seeing it is good, you know. Sometimes seeing is good. But regardless of what you're wearing, if you believe it here, it's there. She says that she wears purple. Purple equals royalty. Now, what does royalty wear? What is their mark? What sets them apart from others? If you were to take a picture of the royals and you took your family picture, what is actually the difference between both of y'all? I'm pretty sure all of y'all have hands and feet, right? All of y'all have clothes on, shoes. All of y'all have your hands probably in your lap or by your side. All of y'all have some kind of family or relative there. What makes it different? Is it in appearance? Not really. No, it has nothing to do about appearance. What sets the royals' family picture apart from your family picture? Are you ready? It's lineage. It's heritage. And most importantly, it's the name. It's the name. Heritage, lineage, name. That's what sets the royals apart. So when you give it to someone, if you were not to tell them these are royals, no one would tell you they're royals. You would have to tell the person, these people are royals. These people are royals. And then they'd immediately say, oh, the name. And then they would think of the lineage and the heritage of royalty. And oh, that's so cool. You know how we are. We get so excited. Like I did with Stevan. Oh, he's famous. We get excited. As Christians, we come into royalty when we become believers. Did you know that? You now carry a name that is valued and worth something. How do you represent? You know how people say, I represent. And I'm like, ooh, I feel bad for who you represent for. How do you represent this name above every name? This name that when spoken, people are healed. The blind see and the deaf hear. This name that says in the Word of God that every knee shall bow at this name in heaven. That means all authorities in heaven. That means all angels. Everybody on earth, that means everyone that believes or does not believe has to bow to the name of Jesus. And it also says under the earth, that means every demonic force, including the devil himself, has to bow at the name of Jesus. How do we represent this name? Do you respect the name? Do you respect the name of Jesus? Do you walk in that name? Do you live into it? Is it yours? Do you own it? It's yours. It's above your name. Royalty. Value. Worth. Smile. Ladies, smile. If you know Jesus, you're in the royals' picture. You're in the royals' picture. That means all the legacy, lineage, and heritage that he has, you have. You have. Come on. Who would like to do a cool search on the internet on that? I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to spend the $50. All you have to do is go here. All the answers you need right here. You are royalty. I just want y'all to get that this morning because I know how easy it is in this world to take on that worthlessness and physique. Because we look at all these people out in the world and we think, oh, I'm just not like them. I'm not worthy. But God says, you are the one that is worth something. You are worthy. Your name, above your name is written the name above all names. Jesus.
Jesus. And then Naomi tells her to do something. Are you ready? Are you ready? After she says, wash, perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes, she says, then go down. Say after me, go down. Say it again, go down. Go down. Go down to change. Go down to where it's going to happen. God calls you, but you choose to come. God calls lots of people, but your job is to come or not come. Go down to where change can happen. Now, sometimes we think that just coming will do it. You know that mentality? Whoa, you got me here. And we think just by being here, we're doing the right thing. No. Go down. Do something there. Do something. Don't just come. Do something. Even if it's something tiny, just do something for change. Coming is just the beginning, ladies. There is an act of obedience that comes in action after you obey the voice of the Lord. Do you want me to say that again? Okay, I will. Coming is just the beginning. There is an act of obedience that comes in action after you obey the voice of the Lord. Listen to verse 4. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Wow. That's a play-by-play. I can't wait to get into this for y'all. I know y'all looking at me like, what's she going to say? What's going to happen next? What is she going to say here? Are you ready? I love that the steps of a righteous man are ordained by the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord when he speaks to you. Listen to it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I put myself in a situation when I'm so like, and I'm not listening to the Lord. I'll think about somebody who, there's a huge bomb right in front of you, and you are the one that's chosen to de-bomb, or whatever it's called. Thank you. Dismantle the bomb, okay? And you have no clue on how to do this, okay? But you have on your earpiece the one who does. Okay? Come on, ladies. This is the voice of the Lord. You have in your earpiece the one who does. And you've got all this noise going on around you because that's the world and the influences around us. All this noise coming at you, but you are wanting to hear the expert on how to do this. Come on, your life is at stake. This bomb could blow up at any time. So what are you doing when you really want to focus in and hear what you need to hear? It's just like that. Make your life dependent on the voice of the Lord like that. God, I've got this bomb here, and I've got a lot of noise. I need to hear you. Tell me what to do here. Sometimes we got to think of the voice of the Lord like that. I got to shut out the extra and just listen in to him, because he knows what to do here. Ladies, you have a direct line to the throne of God. Use it. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of God. Come boldly to the throne of God. The curtain was torn so that you could enter in. No one has to go before you. You get to do it at any time, anywhere. Use it. It's there for you. It's there for you. Look at verse 9. Actually, I'm going to read verse 7. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, good times, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. Verse 9, who are you? He asked. I am your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. Are you ready? Okay, what is she doing here to Boaz? There's been lots of talk of what this actually means, and a lot of it is truth, some of it's not. But I want you to go back into law. What she is doing is that this was an old Hebrew law regarding marriage. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and look at verses 5 and 6. Hold Ruth, go back to Deuteronomy, and go into 25. So you know why she's doing this, because it's very odd, very odd. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 6. If you're there, say yay.
Oh, good. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not carry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. So technically, because Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, he was supposed to marry her, right? So what she does here is that she uncovers, the Bible says specifically, that she asked him to put the garment over her feet, right? Well, this is where we go a little bit of old school. Are you ready? The word garment in the original language means and refers to a custom of marriage proposal. The word garment comes, the original meaning comes from an old custom that means marriage proposal. So what she was doing is reminding him of the Hebrew law. And she is proposing to him. Now, I know some of you might be saying, what? She proposing to him? But I don't know if you remember Tamar and Judah. She had to work her way in there as well. Come on, ladies. Don't be afraid to do some stuff when you are called to do it. It's a custom marriage proposal. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Now, let's take this a step forward. You might be thinking this is weird that a girl is doing this, but it's not. If you really, really think about what she's doing, it's very similar to what every one of us has to do. When we come into relationship with Jesus, we do it by getting on our knees, saying, Jesus, I need you. Come live in my heart. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to be forever yours. Come on, does anyone see the symbolism of what every person has to do to enter covenant with Jesus? It's a marriage proposal. Do you get the bigger picture? It's a marriage proposal. I love you. I need you. I can't do life without you. I want to spend eternity with you. Can I be a part of who you are? And Boaz is told to be the kinsman redeemer. Listen to the other side. Kinsman redeemer means to redeem one who has a ransom, makes a purchase, or saves one from loss. Ladies, I love this book because it is the bigger picture of the church and Jesus. The kinsman redeemer was Boaz. He is the foreshadowing of who Jesus is to us. We are Ruth. We are lost. We are an unknown people, and we need relationship, and we need Jesus, and we've got to come into relationship with him in order to become the lineage of Jesus, in order to get into his family plan, in order to spend eternity with him and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Woo! Man, this is a bigger picture. The Bible is always giving us a bigger picture. This is all about opening our eyes to see, to see. Who ransomed you? Who bought you? Who saved you from loss? Who was it? It's the kinsman redeemer, and it's Jesus. He is your Boaz. He is your Boaz. Come on. He's coming out of that grain field in his bathing suit. Y'all love it. Y'all love it. He's coming to get you. He wants you. He loves you. Propose to him. Ask him. Ask him to come be with you. Ask him to come in. Ask him. Propose to him. Verse 15. I love this. Not only does he take you, but look at verse 15. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. Not only does he pour out generously into your lap when you come into relationship with him, he gives you so much more to bless others around you. Come on, ladies. Jesus poured this lesson on Ruth into me, not so that I could sit around full of it. No, so I could in return pour it out to y'all and you to somebody else. Jesus poured out grace into your life so that you can pour out grace into somebody else's life. Come on, don't be selfish. Jesus poured out love into your life so that you can pour out love into somebody else's life. He pours into you so you in return can pour into somebody else. And this is how the love of Jesus is spread. Wow. He pours out so you can pour in to others what he gives you. Oh, that's beautiful. Michelle was poured in the gift of singing and worship, and now she gets up here and pours out into y'all's life. Some of y'all are called to be teachers. God's poured into you on how to teach others. Your job is to go out and pour it out on other people. Servants, whatever it is that God's calling you to, you pour it out. You pour that thing out. You pour it out. Verse 18, this is the most important thing, and then we're done. Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Wait. Everyone say, wait.
Wait.
Wait. You take action in faith. Now wait. You've done it. You've fulfilled it. You've said, "God, I've done this." Don't do any more. Wait for him, because he is settling something on the other side. Come on, ladies. We know that sometimes when we've done all that we can do and we're in this place where we're not moving forward, we're just kind of right here waiting. It's because God is dealing with something else on the other side. Come on, that's for someone here this morning. Someone needed to hear that this morning. You're in a waiting pattern right now, and you're like, "Man, I've done it all." But God's saying it's not about you. It's about what I'm doing for you on the other side. But don't be discouraged, because the Bible says, "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Oh, if that's not a prayer to pray. Father, the matter is settled today. Father, the matter is settled today. Father, the matter is settled today. Whatever it is you're waiting on, you tell him, "The matter is settled today. The matter is settled today. I believe in faith that he who began a good work in me should not bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." It is settled. Wait. Wait on him. He's doing something big on the other side. Wait to see what he does. If you step in, you'll mess it up. Wait. Wait to see. Wait to see the results of your faith. Oh, God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you for your word, that it is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, it does penetrate bone and marrow, joint and spirit. Father, it is laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Father, it is so alive and active. I love it. I thank you for it. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for cologne Jesus and the grace that comes with it. Father, I thank you that I can be a sweet smelling of fragrance to others around me. Lord, I put on worthiness today because your name is written above my head. I put on fine linen today because I am valuable. I mean something in this kingdom. God has kept me for a reason. He has not forsaken me because he has a call on my life. Thank you, Jesus, for every one of these women in this room and the one man in the back. Blessings upon him, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in his life. Thank you that he came and served and poured out. Lord, pour back into him double and increasing measure in his life. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you have called us to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that we're not waiting around for heaven, Lord, that heaven is here and it is now, and we can walk in it and we can rejoice in it and we can live according to what it is. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.